Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Okay, today, this edition of the Word of the King, we are going to be interviewing Brother Ken Wolfgang and Sister Ruth Wolfgang of Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and also Mr., howbeit my brother in Christ, Gerald Cox, concerning their involvement in an upcoming event that is being performed on behalf of the Pilot Dog School of the Blind. So, without further ado, I would start back to Brother Ken Wolfgang and Sister Ruth Wolfgang for a moment. Tell me, Kenny, tell me, Ruth, how did God put the theme song for the ministry at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, mainly just because I don't see you, how did God impress that song as your theme song upon you?
Okay. First off, I'm going to let Ruthie speak a little bit about it, and then I'm going to tell the rest of the story.
Okay, that was when Wendy Clark was a friend of ours with her husband, Bill, and we just got to be friendly and going out different places together. We went to Pima Tombing, and traveled around together and found out that she could sing. So she taught us a little bit to sing, too. But the song, Just Because I Don't See You, was written by her. Actually, I think we were on the road driving at the time the song was written, actually, when she wrote it. It's a beautiful song, and Kenny knows more about it than I do, but he actually is very close to it. Of course, he's blind. I'm not blind, but you know, it's really, I think, more of a blessing to him because of his blindness.
Okay. Well, actually, here's how it really went. It wasn't, as you know, Ruth, prior to us meeting her, she already knew we could sing. She was just, because she had taken voice lessons, etc., she was helping us to get more so that we would not have the stage fright, that kind of thing, because she was doing with us in the gospel halls. And one day, we were, as you were mentioning, we were riding around and we were heading out to different places. And we were riding in her car with her husband, Bill. And I happened to mention about the experiences I had had with different churches, and how, although just because I'm blind physically with my eyes, but spiritually I could see quite fine, and the churches, just because you're blind, what can you do for God, basically? I told her the testimony, and thus she, being a person that not only sings, but she also writes and can create her own music and lyrics, God impressed upon her heart to go home. In her head, while she was driving, she was already in her head starting to put together the lyrics and the music for this. She went home that night with a keyboard, and by this time already had the song in her head, on her heart, and had played the very song. She sung the master tract and or demo, if you will. She recorded the sound, what is called a soundtrack or background track, and recorded it, and because she knew what kind of vocal range I had and what kind of vocal range Ruth had, and she created a soundtrack as well as a demo track where she was singing it, and recorded it for us, and then after she created it, taught it to me, and she brought it back to me, and the first time she actually sung it in the car when we was out again the next day because we were having car problems, and she sung it, and the minute she sung it, I knew that God had inspired that song. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean, in the chorus it says, just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. And after I heard it, I knew that that definitely was my testimony, not to mention our ministry theme song, in a song. Kind of like John 3:16 encapsulates the whole gospel. It's the gospel in a nutshell. Well, just because I don't see you, it kind of is the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry in a song. It kind of is the Holiness Bibles for the Blind in a nutshell. It says the whole ministry in a nutshell. It talks about, look, just because people are inconvenienced, no matter what it is, whether they have epilepsy, whether they have deafness, blindness, whatever, just because we're inconvenienced. The last verse says it very plain. If God were to take away their sight, maybe then they would see the light. That God will use who he will use, but it's man that will try and choose. Just because God can use you doesn't mean he can't use me.
So, Brother Ken Wolfgang, Sister Ruth Wolfgang, and Brother Gerald Cox, how long have you been a born-again, blood-bought follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, actually, that happened back in 1986, December 23rd, 1986, at a church revival meeting, in fact, in Columbus, Ohio. I was going to the blind school. Now, that was very interesting. At that time, I was a altar boy in the Roman Catholic cult. Before that, I had been going to the Church of Christ. But then, when I went to the blind school, since everybody was Roman Catholic, I decided to become Roman Catholic so I could be in the crowd, because I wanted to be at least popular. Unfortunately, that didn't get me much popularity, but didn't get me too many friends either, because, hey, when you're poor, come from a poor family, that ain't going to improve your lot much. But at least I thought it did. But I became an altar boy, did all the catechism, did all that nonsense, started worshiping Mary, string my beads, all of that, became an altar boy. And then along, there was one girl at the blind school, Gloria Massey, who did not follow the crowd. She was kind of a loner, and a few others like her, but she was the main one. She always carried through the blind school two Braille volumes, especially to the recreation time. The book from Luke and John, and the other from Acts, through I think it's 1st, 2nd Corinthians or so. And what she was doing that for in Braille, or the King James, she was going to tell everybody and anybody they needed Jesus. She was a soul winner. She was a firebrand for Jesus Christ. She was going to tell them it wasn't going to, look, you could go to all the churches you wanted in town. You could get a membership in every church in town. You could pay your tithe to every church in town. You could pay a 10% to every church in town. But unfortunately, when you got all said and done on Judgment Day, you would still split hell wide open. Well, she came around to me. Everybody knew, called her the heretic, the religious heretic, the religious fanatic. Well, she came around to me, finally. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm ready for this one. I told her, I don't need that. You know, boy, I was so religious. Every night at the dormitory, smoking my cigarettes, listening to my rock and roll. And I'm not talking about the light stuff. We're talking heavy metal, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC. Wasp, okay? I'm really long-haired stuff. I mean, really, I'm really right with God, right? I'm surprised the priest didn't boot me out of being an altar boy, but... So, lo and behold, she goes, I want you to come to this revival meeting. Well, the Catholic Church never had a revival meeting in her life. I didn't even know what one is. So she finally tells me about coming. I said, yeah, okay, I'll come. Lied to her. Next day, she says, where were you? Oh, well, I forgot. She said, oh, well, you won't forget tonight, will you? Nah. Yeah, right. That night, Monday night. Yeah, sure, I forgot. Did the same thing Tuesday. By Wednesday, she had enough of me and my lying. She knew I was lying and putting her on. She said, you're not going to forget tonight because if I had to drag you by your hair in the nude, you're coming. And this girl was the kind of girl you didn't want to mess with. She had arms the size of your upper legs, okay? Because this girl could bench press 600 easy.
Oh, Lord.
She was one of our wrestlers.
Help us, Lord.
She was on our wrestling team. I mean, she could bench press 600 and not even blink an eyelash. I mean, you didn't want to mess with this girl on a dark night, okay? So I said, okay, I'm coming. So I went, and that night, this guy gets up and preaches this message about the prodigal son. And his message is coming home. Well, at the end of that message, this song leader gets up, and he sings a song, Lord, I'm coming home. I wandered far away from God, Lord, I'm coming home. And finally, although all that time she had been dealing with me, finally God started dealing with me. And I walked forward, knelt down at an old-fashioned mourner's bench, and I surrendered to Jesus Christ, to Him as my Lord and Savior. And I have, the journey has not been fun, but I could guarantee you I've had a peace like no understanding ever since.
Okay, I got saved when I was 14 years old on June 20th, 1974. So you guys can do your math. It's been 40 years, and this year it'll be 41 on June 20th, 2015. I have a daughter of a Nazarene minister, but that didn't get me saved. I was about the meanest person you ever knew before I found Christ. I beat up people on the street like a gang member. I mean, I was so mean, you wouldn't want to be near me. I beat up my neighbor so bad, I think she was almost dead. I beat up just anybody that wanted to get in and fight with me. But how I accepted Christ was I was watching Rex Humbard, which I wasn't in the Nazarene church at the time. I was in the Rex Humbard's church watching it on television. And I went to the bedroom in the back where they had the TV. I went to a different room, and I said, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. It was an actual song that I was taught in the Nazarene church, and I was there for many years, probably more than 11. My grandparents took me there, and they took me to Rex Humbard's church too, but we got so wrapped up after I left the church, we got to Rex Humbard, and that's who was preaching when I accepted Jesus when I was 14. So it's the most wonderful experience I ever had, and every day of my life it gets better. And no more beating up for Ruthie.
I first went into Assembly of God Church on Broad Street, Conneaut, Ohio, when I was about 7-8 years old. And I've been in church for a while, and I was saved at the age of 15. And I've been in different church since then, and now I'm in Ashtabula Church of God on Harbor Avenue. And I'm 72 years old. I've been in and out, but I'm still with Christ. I am totally blind and nearly deaf. I'm still continue worship Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
So, Brother Ken Wolfgang, what do you anticipate and look forward to God doing this year in and through you all at this year's concert for the Pilot Dogs School of the Blind?
Well, prayerfully and God willing, we would like to see at least one person come to Christ. Although the main goal is to raise funds for Pilot Dogs Incorporated, the main goal, the underwriting goal, is also to hopefully see somebody come to Christ as a result of the gospel going out through song, through the songs that are being sung, and the invitation time that will be given, as well as the tracts that will be passed out during the concert. So we're praying that not only will we see the Pilot Dog School, we are praying and would love to see enough funds be raised to see another dog. The complete funds, which would be $37,000. I know that's an ambitious goal, but we would love to see enough money be raised to see another dog be raised, trained, and placed with another blind person. But whatever the Lord would see fit to raise on the funds part, we'll be grateful for. But our other secondary goal, which is actually our primary goal, and the secondary goal being the funds, but the primary goal is to see at least one person who is nearest hell decide to come to Christ.
Now, let me just say this. Individuals such as yourselves, and I speak especially of you, Brother Kenny, and of you, Brother Gerald Cox, not that Sister Ruth Wolfgang does not have her infirmities, because she does, but compared to you, Brother Kenny, and compared to you, Brother Cox, you both being physically blind, her infirmities pale in comparison to yours. But I say that to say this. Individuals like yourselves, Brother Kenny, individuals like yourself, Brother Cox, are truly an encouragement to someone like me. I myself having my own infirmity in the flesh since about 3.5-4 years of age, known as epilepsy. I myself having gone through major brain surgery in 2008 down at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland. I want you, one by one, and Brother Gerald Cox will start with you, and then Brother Kenny, you can go. But Brother Gerald Cox, if there's one thing that you would say to anyone listening to this who is, they have an infirmity of their own, they're just in a position where they're feeling as they are, indeed in the flesh, very weak, and they need some encouragement, what would you as a blind man, physically, though seeing spiritually, thank God, what would you as a physically blind man say to that individual to encourage him or her to keep pressing on for Jesus Christ?
My answer to this question, I have to ask them, do you believe in Jesus? If so, if the answer is yes or no, I will tell this person, while you're trying to make a decision, I would try to tell you to come to church I go to, as the Billy Church of God, and listen what the pastor is talking about, and ask them a question. Even I am blind and hearing impaired, doesn't mean I will stay this way, or I can be healed. For you to come to church is the main thing. Let your heart tell you what to do. And go from there. but don't rebel against God. Get yourself a King James Holy Bible and read it. Start with the Matthew and read it to the Revelation. You will find out Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. You go his way, you listen to his truth, you will see the light.
What would I say to somebody struggling? I would have to go back to when I was in a car wreck. Back in 1993. And I would remind them of a text of scripture that became very strong for me. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 4. See, when you read verses 1 and 2, the whole context of 1 Peter chapter 4, the whole context, from the beginning of the chapter to the end of that chapter, chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, it's all about suffering. Well, verse 1, it says, "For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." In the flesh. How much did he suffer? He died on a cruel cross. He first was taken by a bunch of soldiers, taken through a bunch of mock trials, and then what? Taken to a judgment hall and then beaten with a cat of nine tails to where his back was in ribbons, and then forced to walk up a street to carry a cross while he was bleeding literally to death. And he was at this point almost dehydrated and could barely move, to the point where he had to have someone else carry that cross for him. And then when he finally did get to Calvary, they nailed him to that cross that he was carrying. So the Bible tells me, 1 Peter chapter 4, as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves, that means get prepared just like you would for battle, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, with the same thinking. For he that has suffered in the flesh, whether it be blindness, deafness, in a wheelchair, whatever, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Then you go down to verses 12 and 13, one of the most favorite texts I have that pulled me through a lot of my trials. Beloved, you could put your name right above that word, beloved. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial or problem, whatever you have, that is to try you. Put your name right there. As though some strange thing happened unto, put your name there again, unto you. For, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. There's what you're supposed to be doing. Rejoice in it. Like Paul did, he says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. He prayed three times and asked Jesus, would you take away this thorn in the flesh? Take it away from me. Jesus said three times, no, no, no. Had to get it through Paul's thick head. I'm not going to take it away from you, Paul. I'm not going to heal you. I have a purpose in it. And then Paul had to finally get it through his thick skull. Therefore will I glory in my infirmities, which is a sickness. So we're not better than the Apostle Paul. So we can't demand of God like a genie in a bottle. He's not a trinket. And so he said, it says there, but rejoice in so much you're partaker of Christ's, you're a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, that's in heaven, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. You know when you're going to, hey, Brother Jerry, Brother Tim, you know when you'll get rid of that epilepsy? Ruth, you know when you're going to get rid of all those leg problems? to that person that's out there suffering, you know when that's all going to be done away with? You'll be having exceeding joy when you go down the streets of glory. If you are blood-bought, born again, when you go down those streets of gold, trust me, you're going to be shouting. You'll have something to shout about, and you'll have. That's what's going to make Jesus and the pearly white city a lot more better for you and for me, because you'll have something to shout about. Why? Because it says that's when you're going to rejoice. But rejoice in so much of your partakers of Christ's sufferings, when His glory is revealed, when you get there. When I get to heaven, and remember what Fanny J. Crosby said, I will know Him by the prints in His hand. Why? Because she'll be able to actually see those prints. She right now is seeing the prints in His hands that she sung about that she could never see, but now she sees them. She said, I will know Him. Isn't that an awesome thought?
This is how I look at it. If you, Brother Kenny, someone like you, if you, Brother Gerald Cox, someone like you, can press on and serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and not be moved for His name's sake, there's no reason why anybody else cannot, by His grace, do it. Whatever their infirmity may be, they are without excuse. And let me now proceed. Brother Ken Wolfgang, give myself and those listening a general layout of the preparations that were involved with this year's concert on behalf of the Pilot Dog School of the Blind.
Okay, well, just a real quick overview of that, because it really wasn't that much to it. It was just basically when the Lord laid it on my heart, I first contacted the school to let them know what was on my heart. Then after I got in contact with the appropriate people to set up for the, to let them know we wanted to do a fundraiser, that was Kate Walker and Jay Gray. Those are the executive director and the assistant executive director. Once I contacted them, then once I got those wheels in motion, then I had to find some groups to sing. Of course, me and my wife being the Ashtabula Angels, that was one. We needed two more groups. Once I found some and we got a concert date, then we had to procure the park in which we were singing. We got that. We got our permit for the park. Once we had all the appropriate permits, then the next step was to go around, get local businesses to join in to get our gift certificates, and then finally, it became the promotion of the concert, and that was to get our flyers and all of that happy good stuff. And now that's where we stand now. And then of course during this time, each of the groups were told what they had to do, how much time they had on the program roster so they could practice, and then of course finally, which now we're coming into the last stages, which will be, which all of us have had time to practice, but the last stages will be to actually arrive at the park and actually do the actual concert.
Finally, last but not least, starting with you, Sister Ruth Wolfgang, and then going to you, Brother Kenny, and then to you, Brother Gerald Cox. But again, starting with you, Sister Ruth Wolfgang, please tell me and anyone listening how serving Jesus Christ in the concert on behalf of the Pilot Dog School of the Blind has been a blessing to you.
Well, so far I've enjoyed myself. We've been going out on buses and dropping off things that we have to do for Bob Evans to us to do with the concert too. But it's a lot of different running around we've had to do. But it's been a blessing to me because I really feel like I'm doing something for a good cause to help people like Kenny and Jerry and others that are blind that could get dogs and so they can at least get around easier than using canes, because you sure can't love a cane as much as you can a dog. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a lot better to have a dog. And even some people I know need a dog and they just refuse to get one. They'd rather use a sighted guide. Sighted guides are okay. I'm a sighted guide for Kenny and Jerry, but sometimes not that much for Jerry as much as her husband here. But it gets ridiculous. Some people should be able to get something that they need and get the dogs. Go to the dog school. go to pilot dogs or go to leader dogs or guide dogs for the blind or the seeing eye. I mean, there's a lot of good places, but we're helping pilot dogs. But there's just so many out there that we could be, you know, getting people to go to the schools to help them. So that's what I want to do, and just want to serve the Lord in this, because we're also singing gospel songs too.
Well, that one's going to be easy, because not only am I going to have a chance to sing gospel music about the Lord Jesus Christ, but also as I'm going around getting out the publicity stuff, it also gives me a chance to do a little soul winning for Jesus and tell people about Jesus himself. So it's kind of a dual purpose, as I've said before, and I'm praying that the Lord will use me in that effort. So it's kind of a dual purpose. I know that I'm helping somebody to eventually get a dog, but at the same time, I know that I'm doing something for Jesus himself.
To me, it's a blessing to be on the program to tell the people what a blessing to have Jesus in my heart. And I had been blessed to have a guide dog. Her name is Stella. All I can say for rest of you, for me, it is blessing to give than to receive.
And let me just say here at the Word of the King, may the Lord bless all that you are doing this year at the concert for the Pilot Dog School of the Blind, and may you be blessed as you serve him by way of this concert. May God be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name. Oh, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians. Oh, but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.